This is John Nesbitt with another chapter in our review of human adventure called The Passing Parade. And our chief figure this time is one of the craziest, wisest, most lucky, and perhaps one of the happiest men whose life has ever given us a story to tell. After a moment, we'll bring you the main facts about a true genius who based his career upon belief in fairy tales of The Passing Parade. Now on our reviewing stand, this is the authentic and proven story of a man who did everything. He was an American citizen who died in his sleep in a palace at Naples, Italy, early in the morning of December 25th, 1890. His name sounds like that of an old-fashioned butcher or delicatessen. It was Schliemann, Heinrich Schliemann, as German as beer and pretzels. He was born in a little town in Germany in 1822. His father was a poverty-stricken country parson who had nothing to give his son but love and a lot of old books. These books were those his father needed as a preacher, the Bible, of course, in German and in Latin and in Greek, histories of the ancient people of Babylon and Egypt and Greece and Rome, and old volumes of fairy tales. The little boy named Heinrich Schliemann learned to read from the Bible, and then, since his father was too poor to send him to school, went on using the books of fairy tales for his education. By the time he was 8, he was reading the legends about Helen of Troy and Achilles' heel and Agamemnon and the Trojan horse and the rest of them. Now, at 8, the boy believed that these ancient stories were perfectly true. He believed that there had been a city called Troy, where the earth's most beautiful woman was the cause of a terrible series of bloody wars. The first unusual thing about Heinrich was that he went right on believing these fairy tales for the rest of his life. The second unusual thing about the child was that he seemed to learn to read the books written in Latin and Greek quite as easily as he learned those in his own language. By the time he was 15, his father correctly figured that his boy was a mental genius and would be a great scholar. So he asked him if he wished a higher education. The boy smiled at his father and said, "Why, no, sir. You see, I believe there really was an old King Midas, so rich that it seemed that everything he touched turned to gold. So my idea is to go out where the old stories say and dig up these ancient cities and perhaps find some of that gold. But first, in order to finance my expeditions, I will have to become a rich man. So now I'm going to get a job." Heinrich Schliemann now became a grocer boy. Since he worked in a store, he figured he might as well study merchandising. On the side, he mastered bookkeeping, double-entry accounting, and the import and export business, all of this taking him only a single year. He next got a job in Holland as a clerk in an exporter's office, and there he learned more about money and how it was to be made. He finally set up his own business in Russia, taking only 8 weeks to learn to speak Russian fluently and dealing, of all things, in indigo dye. At the age of 25, he owned 3 ships of his own and was trading around the globe. In his travels as a merchant, he now picked up a complete speaking knowledge of English, Spanish, French, Dutch, Portuguese, Italian, Swedish, Polish, Arabic, in addition to Russian, German, Greek, Latin, Sanskrit, and ancient Hebrew. By the age of 30, he was also a wealthy man. But what the world now saw was merely a plump businessman who always wore black practical suits, plodding along in search of a penny profit here or a dollar profit there. But the moment his working day ended, he retired to his private rooms, and he became another man. He would speak only Latin or Greek. He would read only those ancient fairy tales. And if he had to work on his business records at night, he would amuse himself by keeping them in Hebrew, cuneiform, or Egyptian hieroglyphics. In the course of his business trading, he happened to land in San Francisco, California. He was delighted with the Americans, so he chucked over his German citizenship, became an American subject, and he loved our country for all the rest of his life. He said, "I am an American because they are attempting the hardest task of man, which is to govern themselves without tyrants or dictators." At the age of 35, Heinrich Schliemann called his business associates and employees to a little meeting. "I find," he said, "that I have saved the sum of exactly $1 million. So now I bid you all a loving farewell, for I'm going to have some fun. My friends, I have a date with a beautiful woman. Her name is Helen of Troy." And that was the end of Heinrich the businessman, who at the age of 35 had easily achieved objective number one, $1 million. And after a moment, we will come to the incredible truth of how the second man, Heinrich the explorer, who believed in fairy tales, did keep his date with Helen of Troy in the passing parade. This is John Nesbitt back now on our reviewing stand. In the summer of the year 1871, newspaper readers all over the world got up one morning to read a fairy tale in the headlines. The report was that a loony millionaire, crazy as a hatter, and despised by most of the expert archaeologists of the age, had hired 80 laborers and had started digging in the earth in a lonely stretch of territory up in the northwest corner of Asia Minor. The man had said that he was hunting for ancient Troy, and asked why he dug just where he did, he cheerfully explained that this was where the fairy tale said Troy was. And now, after spending nearly every cent of his wealth and digging for more than a year, the crazy businessman had found an enormous bowl of copper, a bowl big enough to bathe a horse in, but inside the bowl were more than 9,000 objects of solid silver and solid gold. The eccentric businessman had dug up the treasury of the ancient kings of Troy. And this treasure had been discovered, of course, by Heinrich Schliemann, happy as a lark, and not at all surprised to have found it just where he had looked. He had indeed discovered ancient Troy. Now experts began to realize that Schliemann had something, and great scholars traveled to his side, joined him, and in the years that followed he discovered not one Troy, but 9 cities, one on top of the other. Now the man who believed in fairy tales decided to attend to a third idea he had had as a boy. This was to have a beautiful woman in love with him, marry him, and bear him a family. And maybe, he said, to live in a palace. You see, if you're taking your life plans from the fairy tale books, this is the natural thing to do. Schliemann calmly advertised for a wife. He held a photographic contest, studying each girl's picture. He insisted that the girl be a Greek, since he said he would never be happy with anyone who didn't come from an ancient land. And such was his unbelievable good luck, or miracle-working faith, that the beautiful Greek girl he found through advertising and married at once turned out to love him loyally and take an interest in his dream of uncovering the lost worlds. They had 2 children, both boys. Heinrich naturally named the oldest boy Agamemnon and the youngest Achilles. As these children grew up, their father insisted that while at home, they speak no word of any living language. They must speak Latin and Greek only. And instead of hating him, they loved their father. They were one of the happiest families in Europe. Schliemann built 2 magnificent palaces for them to live in, and he spent every last penny of his treasure money in giving parties and having a good time. Schliemann was a man who wasn't going to miss out on anything. But now, beginning to grow old, he found that he was poor again. So with borrowed money, Schliemann went to the island of Mycenae, where, you might recall from the Bible, Mary Magdalene was said to have lived, and where old Homer, the storyteller, had said in the Iliad that a tremendously rich civilization had once existed. Again, there